Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
It says in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." We just got through singing the song, "Until Then, with Joy I'll Go on Singing." Man, and my message this morning, I pray that God will take the book of Philemon, go ahead and turn there right now in the New Testament, that God will take it and it'll jump off the pages of your Bible, eternal writ, and enter into your heart, and you will never forget it. What a miracle Philemon is. What a miracle of salvation. What a miracle the family of God lived out around Philemon, so that when he did get born again, he did come to Jesus Christ as his Savior, he became just part of the family. What an opportunity we have as a New Testament church. Been a busy, oh, let's say 6 months, right? We've been building all summer. Camp been going on all summer. We had our 50-year anniversary in the month of September, the Jubilee service. We had preachers from all over out of this congregation, 33 in number, even those that are already in heaven. But we had seven of them preach to us on that Sunday night. Man, we celebrated the Lord's table, and if you remember, that was special. To me, that was one of the best celebrations of the Lord's table we have ever had in this church, and it was very emotional. And then we went right from that, we went to our old school gathering. Oh, mission conference in between, and Brother Garvin Wall, and he rang the bell. And then our old school gathering last Monday. Didn't God hear and answer our prayers? Man, what a service. We found out what this building looked like, packed out and every seat taken. And I hope you got a little bit of vision. It's a great crowd this morning. But I mean packed out. We got room to grow and we got to get at it in what little time is left. Until then, with joy, I'll go on singing. We cannot be satisfied and rest in past accomplishments. You still have neighbors that are going to hell. You still have people in your world, in your circle, your little world, that have not received Jesus as their Savior. You have a job to do. I have a job to do. We have a calling of God upon our lives. And it is not time to just sit back and rest. People are drowning. They're going under for the third time. They're looking for answers. Young families all around us in this Tri-County area. Young families they're floundering. They're looking for truth. They're looking for a purpose. They're looking for reason. Old people are in their homes this morning without hope. Some are sitting in churches that no longer preach the gospel, and they are without hope. And they're thinking, man, my life is coming to an end. My life is almost over. This can't be all there is to it. And I want to say to any of them that might be listening this morning, there is more. His name is Jesus. He's the Savior of the world. And he come to rescue sinners from hell. And we as a church, man, we got to spread that out. We got to tell people about Jesus. It's more than just showing up on Sunday morning. The book of Titus is a story of an old man writing to a younger brother in the Lord, I believe the pastor of the church there in Colossae, writing on behalf of another brother who was a runaway slave. Paul met in Rome and led him to Christ, and his life was radically changed. And he sent a letter back, probably with Epaphras, we don't know that for sure, but by way of on Philemon's behalf, and made a request of the believers there in Colossae. I trust this morning, and what little time I have, I'm going to be able to exegete this just 24 short verses. It's just tucked between the book of Titus and the letter to the first century Hebrew Christians. And it is so important, inspired of God, the shortest of Paul's epistles. Philemon, a man in the church of Colossae, who was probably the pastor, and Onesimus, who this letter is about, was a runaway slave. He was a thief. A quarter of the population of the Roman Empire, perhaps a little over a half, because it would fluctuate, were slaves. They were people that were conquered by Rome, and they were slaves. Can I say this at the beginning of the message before I read a single verse? The gospel of Jesus Christ is for everybody. It's for no matter what their status is in this world, no matter their race, no matter their pedigree or lack thereof, no matter their education. The gospel of Jesus Christ crosses all those lines. It is for everybody. It says here in verse 1, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus. Now, that little bit of play on words. He is in Rome, and he is a physical prisoner. But he's also a volunteer slave, a volunteer prisoner of Jesus Christ, his Savior. A bond slave, if you will. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer. And again, it's a team. So here's Paul in Rome, and here is Philemon back in Colossae, and they're both on the same team, and they understand that. It is a team effort. Everything that happened last week, man, that was a team effort. Not one person did it all. Not one person did most of it. It was an absolute team effort. And that's the way the family of God is. And that's the way the family of God operates. Can I say this before I get into the meat here? We need you here at Fundamental Baptist Church. We need you in the family of God. There are people whose lives you will touch that I will never meet. I will never know their name. Somebody else down the pew, they'll never meet. We are all needed in the family of God. It is a team effort. A fellow laborer, verse 2, and to our beloved Apphia, a female, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house, he's talking there to Philemon, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God making mention of thee in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. I'm not to the first point yet. This is just introduction. But what Paul is emphasizing here is, as children of God, in the family of God, in the local church, we need to show the love of God that we have for Jesus. We need to live it out. We need to flesh out the grace of God, the mercy of God, so that my neighbor can see it and identify that's from God. Not I'm from God, but that response, that was from God. They ought to see the joy of the Lord that is such a big part of our lives and a big part of Fundamental Baptist Church. And man, that's attractive. That'll attract people to the Savior, to the lover of their souls, to really the only friend they'll ever have. If they'll just come to him, he is the greatest friend. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And I tell you, his name is Jesus. I've got a brother still alive here on this planet. And now he's in the southern hemisphere, and now he's back in Bolivia, and he's preaching a special meeting, I believe in Posto Lavarle, a conference here this morning. We just texted back and forth yesterday. He left Friday morning. They've gotten there. But I got a brother that's closer than him. I got a brother that sticketh closer than a brother, and his name is Jesus. And you too can know him. You too can know him on a personal level. He says in verse 6 that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good work which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation or encouragement in thy love because of the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. You know what he's saying? He's saying, Philemon, you've had a great testimony and you are known nationwide and worldwide and among the church everywhere as a brother who refreshes the brethren. You're that shining light that God is using. And he's going to ask a special request of Philemon here in just a moment. But he's kind of building this up and making it very evident. He's saying, man, you are a consolation. You are an encouragement to me. Let me just stop right there. Who do you encourage? What impact are you having and on who are you having it? If you're like Pigpen in the Charlie Brown cartoon that's got that cloud of dust around you all the time, and that's how you're influencing people, man, that isn't it. Man, you're missing the mark. You need to carry the light of Jesus into every room you enter. You need to carry the presence of God into every situation and every conversation. That is a personal challenge to me. Light up the room for the cause of Christ. Light up the room. And he says, you've given me great consolation. Verse 8, wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient. He says, now, Philemon, I'm going to ask of you a hard thing. I'm going to be bold. And he's going to say this in just a moment. I'm not telling you that you owe me a lot. but you know you do. I think Paul led him to the Lord. But he says, I'm going to be bold, and I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask something of you. As a child of God, this book, this letter, is about freedom, forgiveness, and a second chance. This short letter is about brotherly love that needs to constantly be developed in the New Testament local church. I mentioned this 2 weeks ago. Let me say it again. We are never going to arrive as far as having an outreach. There's always going to be someone else to reach for Christ. Every soul on earth is a candidate for salvation. Every member of your family that is not born again yet, they are a candidate of salvation. And we have got to constantly develop. Jesus said, they will know you are my disciples by your love one for another. Man, that's got to be developed all the time. Get outside your own little circle. Reach out to visitors. Reach out to new people. They don't know anybody. Reach out to those that are new to the family of God. If they know three people here by name, that'd be an amazing thing. And we've got to reach out to them and give them the truth. It needs to be constantly developed. So let's read on what Paul says here. Verse 9. Yet for love's sake, I rather beseech thee, be in such an one as Paul the aged. He's an old man now. He's going to lose his head. He's going to be martyred for the cause of Christ very soon. And now also a prisoner of Jesus. I beg thee for my son Onesimus, one of 8 billion runaways in the world today. I beg you on behalf of my son Onesimus, his son. He says here, whom I have begotten in my bonds. We don't know the circumstance, but somehow, some way, Onesimus ran from Philemon's household, stole when he ran, took some goods, maybe enough to get to Rome, and he got all the way to the city of Rome. And somehow, some way, he got in trouble again, and he was arrested. And his path crossed none other than the Apostle Paul in the city of Rome, under arrest. And Paul said, I know what's going on in your life, and I know you're a running man, and I know you got a sin problem, but I know a Savior who'll forgive you of all your sins, and he'll make you whole. And Onesimus is begotten, get born again. He gets saved. He gets blood bought. I have begotten in my bonds while we were in prison, which in time past was to thee unprofitable. The word Onesimus itself means useless. He was in prison, he stole, he ran, he was in prison, he meets the Apostle Paul, this one named Onesimus, who was useless, he gets born again, this ne'er-do-well becomes a trusted friend, this social outcast becomes a son of God, this fugitive slave becomes a forever brother. And the reason is, there's a Savior, his name is Jesus, and we're going to get to it at the end of this short book. He says, you put that on my account. Onesimus, I know you're a sinner. Onesimus, I know you're broken. Onesimus, I hear you calling out to me now, and I give to you eternal life. And by way of the blood that was shed at Mount Calvary, you have received forgiveness of sins, and you're born again, begotten again. Now he's a new man. Now he's a new creation. Now things have changed. But he goes from being a fugitive slave to a son of God. He was bound in the chains of sin. He had the mark of Cain. He was a child of his father, the devil. No pedigree. None of that. Just like Tim Rader before he got born again. And Jesus saved me. And Jesus saved Onesimus. And if you're born again, he saved you. But if you're not born again, you need to be born again. Because without Christ, you're going to the devil's hell. That's not religion I'm preaching right there. That is Bible. That is the Word of God. It is very clear, explicitly clear. There is a broad way that leadeth to destruction. And Jesus said, many there be which go in thereat. But straight and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life eternal, and few there be that find it. And can I tell you that Jesus said, I am the way? That's Jesus. He is the truth. He is the life. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that you might know that ye have eternal life. And that you might believe on the name of the Son of God. Salvation is free. Onesimus found that out. Onesimus found out, no matter what he'd done in his life, he'd come to Jesus, he was born into the family of God, now he's a member of the family of God. He went from a fugitive slave to a forever change, a forever brother. He says in verse 11, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, useless, but now profitable to thee and to me. You know what Paul's telling Philemon here? He's saying, brother pastor, this young man's been changed. You and I both know what the gospel is all about. I am testifying to you, he has shown the fruits of salvation. He is a young man that has gotten born again. And you need, he's still your servant, and he's making things right. But you've got to now treat him as a brother. Whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him, that is mine own bowels. Now he's profitable. Now he's forever changed. Therefore, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Let's turn over there. Let's do that again. But we haven't done it yet. Let's go there right now. First 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. You're familiar with it. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. We read in Sunday school, 1 Peter in chapter 4 and verses 3 and 4. The world doesn't understand that because they're on the outside looking in. The world doesn't, they think it's strange that you don't party with them anymore. That's exactly what Peter said. They think it's strange that you don't run with them. You don't talk the way you used to talk. You don't go the places you used to go. They think that's just that's incomprehensible. They really don't understand why that is. But the reason is Jesus. And Paul is telling Philemon, your runaway slave has come back. But he's not coming back as a runaway slave. He's not coming back as a rebel. He's coming back as a forever brother. Treat him as such. If he has done you wrong, Paul says these words, charge that to my account. 1972, Bark River, Michigan. We lived between Bark River and Escanaba. It was actually Schaefer, Michigan. We had a little small farm over there. My dad was a cement finisher. Dad had just gotten saved maybe 3 years prior to this. Mom had just gotten saved that same year as well. And we had four cows, 100 chickens. I tabulated this yesterday. Four cows, 100 chickens. We always had a litter of pigs because, you know, you had to have pigs, and then we had enough horses to keep Dad poor all the time. That's what we had. At one time, it swelled up to like 26 horses at one time. You can imagine hay burners. That's all we had was hay burners, little pony pulling team. But anyway, long story short, I'm a freshman in high school. It's 1972. Dad says, I want you to go to Ray's Feed Mill while I'm at work. It was a Saturday. Go to Ray's, I think it was a Saturday. Might have been a weekday, which I would have volunteered to go. Go to Ray's Feed Mill, take the flat rack pickup, the flat rack truck, and I want you to pick up, I think it was a ton of grain, something like that. And I said, okay, Dad, how do I pay for it? And I was excited to go. Man, I had my driver's permit. That's all I had. But it was a farm, right? And so I was excited to go. And he said, you just tell them to put it on your father's account. Now, you forget how naive you are. We're at that age. And the area of the business world, that was the farthest thing from my thinking. What do you mean? Put that in my account. I'm going to go over there. They're going to load that truck up. The truck is going to be loaded. I'm going to walk up to the till and say, I don't have any money. And he said, tell them to put it on my account. So we did. I did exactly that. And I remember they loaded the truck. I walked into that Ray's Feed Mill, walked up to the counter. And he said, that'll be so and such amount of money. And I said, put that. My father said, put that on his account. And he said, yes, sir. And he wrote it down. And I thought to myself, was that easy? I wonder if this will work at the restaurant. I wonder if this will work at the gas station. Yeah. He put that on my account. This is what Paul says here. He said, Onesimus has come home. He'll make things right. He is a forever brother. If he owes you anything, you put that on my account. I'm not reminding you that you owe me a lot, Philemon, but you put that on my account. I will pay for it. And Onesimus gets born again because there's a Savior that said, put that on my account. Paul, a man of God, takes a brother under his wing who was young in the Lord, who had a bad reputation, who was unprofitable, who was untrustworthy, who was a thief, who was a runaway slave, but he gets gloriously born again and gloriously changed. Verse 13 says, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me, been a blessing unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldst receive him forever. That little verse right there has brought a lot of hope to a lot of people whose young people have run away from God, or whose brother has run away from God. And that's something you can cling on to and you can hang on to. Sometimes people need to go through deep water before they find out how good God is. And they get in that deep water and they run their head against a brick wall, and then they realize, hey, I'm not the smartest guy in the world. And maybe I don't know everything. And then they come back to Jesus. And that's a wonderful thing. And all Paul says is, by way of just mentioning it, maybe this is what God had for him so he would come to himself and know he needs a Savior. Verse 16, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother, beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. And if thou count me therefore a partner, a companion, receive him as myself. God the Son says that God the Father put his sin on my account. And receive him, Father, like you receive me. Boy, there's a lot of good theology there. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it, albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. The joy of serving God. There's nothing, what an institution, what a God-ordained group the family of God is, the New Testament church is. This week I was able to pray during the week with evangelist Byron Fox, and we all know him, he preached for us last spring. 24/7, he's at his wife's bedside right now, and she's under home health care and just waiting to go home to heaven. Being very positive. We wept together on the phone. He said, Brother Rader, we're so close to heaven right here in this room. And I thought to myself as I was preparing for this message, what a wonderful thing the family of God is. Talked to Chuck Harding on the phone, who was supposed to be at Old School as our keynote speaker. Battled cancer for months, got on top of it, God healed him. Just before he gets ready to come, the day before, to speak at Old School, the doctor says, man, you got skin cancer, it's aggressive, it's bad, we got to start treating it right now. So he wasn't able to come, but we could pray together. That is the family of God. That is the goodness of God. In the family of God, we help one another. You got a church right here that can help you, that can befriend you, that will not condone sin, but we'll put our arms around you and we'll try to help you every step of the way. And it's so hard because people fall between the cracks from time to time, and that gets difficult. And that's why we need to be self-aware. I want to share four things with you in a statement, and my message will be just about done. But before I do that, I want to thank you for being the kind of New Testament local church you are. Yeah, last Sunday, I said, anybody that wants to give towards the relief of we have an organization in the Carolinas called Hearts with Helping Hands. And anybody that wants to give towards that, he's a fellow, he's a brother preacher, he's an evangelist, he's an old-time fundamentalist. Part of his ministry, he offers relief. He's got the organization to offer relief and trained people in disasters. And they've used that to win many people to Christ over the years, over and over again. And they're completely overwhelmed with the first hurricane that came through the southeast part of the United States of America. I just mentioned that in passing last Sunday morning. You know, over $4,400 came in last Sunday from this church. Monday night, instead of taking the love offering to meet needs here, and I so appreciate our brethren all over the state that were here on Monday. We took that love offering, going to add it to our love offering. You know how much they gave? Over $4,400. So we were able to wire $8,800 to that organization. Now, I'm sure that's just a drop in the bucket. But we're just a little church up in the north. And here's what we have learned over the years. If you understand God puts something on your plate, you use it for him, he replaces it. Yeah. The barrel never runs dry. That's why God blesses mission-minded churches. Somebody in our church family, two different people, in our church family, this is interesting, I never would have thought about doing this, came up, one on Sunday, one on Monday, early in the day. Pastor, here's some $100 bills. You be led of God, and you give it to the preachers you think need it. I said, wow, that's pretty exciting. 15 $100 bills. Man, I got to hand it out to 15 different preachers that were here that I thought needed it. And I just said the same thing to every one of them. I shook their hand, put that $100 bill in there like I'm Mr. Big Shot, and said, no questions asked. This is right from heaven. You use it as you need it. And I walk away, and they're looking at it. Somebody, hey. And I just kept walking. What a church. But you know why? What a Savior. What a God. And they said, you charge that to my account. You take care of those people, and you charge that to my account. As a people of God, we have got to develop in an even greater way living out and fleshing out the grace of God. Here's how it happens. Here's how it can happen. I trust that you'll take some of this to heart right here and right now. Wear a smile. Wear a smile. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Man, start smiling. When you come to church, don't come in dragging your tail like you got the weight of the world on your shoulders. Even if it's true, give it to the Lord and wear a smile. Number two, extend a hand. Get the people outside your circle. I went to find a friend and could not find one there. I went out to be a friend, and shock, I found friends everywhere. Man, extend your hand. Get outside your own little circle. Meet new people right here in our church congregation. Talk to people that you never talked to. Man, just welcome them to the family of God. Welcome them to the church of Jesus Christ. Number three, live out mercy. Find a way to put something in their hands. Find a way to lighten their load. God does that for us. And then number four, be available. Let God use you. He'll not use you if you're not available. He'll not use you if you're stiff-necked and you do things your way all the time and you never get outside your circle, that people won't even be welcomed to your presence and welcome to your circle. Man, light up the room. Bring Jesus to a world that's in darkness. Light up the room. Introduce others to the best friend you've ever had. Man, live a life in such a way that you wear a smile and you extend a hand and you live out mercy and you're available. God says, jump over there, you're over there. God says, go over there, you're over there. You just find a way. Forget your schedule. Forget your list. It's nice to have them, but they're not reality a lot of times. And I have them and I try, but sometimes I don't even get to the bottom of the list. Man, just be wide open. So, okay, this is kind of a different kind of message this morning. Paul writes to Philemon on behalf of Onesimus. I know he's a rebellious slave. I know he was a runaway slave. I know he's a ne'er-do-well. I know he's a social outcast. I know he's a fugitive, but now he's a forever brother. Now he's a trusted friend. Now he's a son of God. Give everybody that opportunity. If he owes you anything, I'm good for it. I will pay for it. If you're here today and you're not born again, you don't know Jesus as your Savior, come to Christ. It's bigger than the preacher extending his hand. It's the Son of God reaching out in your direction and wanting you to get born again, if you'll trust him. Church family, let's be like Paul. Let's be like Philemon. Let's be known far and wide for the mercy of God and for the love of God.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast, when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.